We'll now move to agenda item 11, Facilities Conditions and Capital Management Program, with Chris Stewart.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Emerson, State Forester Doherty, members of the board. For the record, my name is Chris Stewart, ODS Facilities Capital Management Program Manager. As a licensed professional engineer and with 20 years of state service, I have worked in multiple facilities-related disciplines at agencies such as the Oregon Building Codes Division, the Department of Energy, and most recently, 8.5 years with the Department of Forestry. I will be presenting to you a brief summary of the agency's facilities, including current facilities portfolio stats, the applied facilities condition metric, the current facilities condition metric stats, the investment strategy to facilitate effective long-range planning and overall good stewardship of our buildings and infrastructure, and applying best management practices as facilities managers. I will also be presenting the concept strategic plan, a facilities investment tool, and also providing a snapshot of the facilities program, its current capacity and needs. It's a total of 9 slides. I will try to pace myself. I also want to thank Bill or Tricia, whoever's driving the PowerPoint presentation, for actually driving it for me as I present this remotely. So let's go to slide number 1. Basic statistical information here. You'll see it's our facility portfolio stats. We have roughly 389 buildings on record with a total current replacement value of about $241 million. And if you look at the slide, you'll see it's broken down a little bit further. You'll see we have about 35 structures valued roughly at, greater than $1 million, with a total value of $157 million. And then 354 structures that are valued at less than $1 million. And that totals to roughly $84 million. And all of that combined, that's the $240 million current replacement value of all of our facilities in the field and also here on campus. We have a mix of structures, some built in this millennia, some, of course, last century. And we have a few that were actually built in the first half of last century, most notably the State Forester's Office Building, which opened up for business back in 1938. We have a wide variety or range of facilities with a different mix of occupancies. That includes administrative facilities, office buildings would be one, guard stations, shop buildings. We also have vehicle service facilities, fire cache facilities, tree coolers, kiosks, and also vault toilets, and of course, communication sites and lookout towers. Next slide, please. Thank you. So how do we grade the condition of our facilities? This is the key, because this is ultimately how we can actually manage our facilities and grade ourselves to see exactly how we're doing. So here you'll see an established facilities performance metric. And this is the key metric to help me as a facilities manager know exactly where we're going and whether we have enough funding, whether we are actually achieving, our good stewardship goals, if you will, to make sure that our buildings are safe to occupy, that they meet programming needs, that are nimble to be able to change in the event, we have to adjust or adapt. This performance metric is called the Facility Condition Needs Index. It's also called the Facility Condition Index, short. But simply, just FCI is the industry standard. And what's important is each building has its own FCI, which is important, and it's all rolled up into an average, and we can look at that, or we can look at each individual building. Key here also is this metric is calculated using a couple of variables. It's basically the need divided by the value of the building. That's pretty straightforward. So if you look at if you look closer at the slide, you'll see the numerator at the top of the equation. You'll see deferred maintenance needs and capital improvement. That rolled up divided by the ultimate value of the building, the CRV, that gives us a percent or a number, if you will. And you'll see a breakdown of that percent, actually, where it ultimately lands and also how it represents the condition of our building. So you can see we have 4 different categories. We have good, fair, poor, or very poor. So looking at good, 0 to 5% is the goal. So if the FCA lands somewhere in between there, we're doing our job. If it's somewhere between 5 and 10%, structures are subject to wear and soiling, but they're still serviceable and they're in pretty good functioning condition. Anything greater than 10%, they are considered poor. Those structures are subjected to hard and long-term wear and nearing the end of their useful service life and become progressively more expensive to maintain. And then, of course, anything greater than 60%, very poor. And in this case, usually the recommendation is to actually replace the structure because it just isn't worth the investment anymore. So basically that's the key metric there. And that gives us the pathway, if you will, to measure where we are at. Next slide, please. Thank you. So we're going to dive a little deeper here. So what you see here is that the actual percentages of where we are at. I've taken the grading scale, if you will, and you'll see it in that bar up there, the 0 to 5, 5 to 10, greater than 10%, and greater than 60%. So what you see here is where we are at. So currently, on average, we're sitting at roughly 11.67%. So you can see we're somewhat, in the fair category and actually slightly above. And if we ultimately don't do anything and we're unfunded, if you will, then that would skyrocket to 18.82% in 10 years. What's projected for the next biennium is roughly 11.13% if we implement all the planned projects that we have for select facilities. Because this is a pilot project, we have only included the data from the districts that actually are participating in this. So in theory, if we were all included, at least if all the facilities were included, that number would actually be less. And then I'd like to also point out with the passing of Senate Bill 1067, we potentially could receive funding to actually tackle our deferred maintenance needs and actually drop that percentage much lower. For information, this bill was passed back in 2017. And it's a law that requires the governor to budget for a specific deferred maintenance and capital improvement amount that would then ultimately be rolled up into a capital improvement or capital construction ask. And it's roughly 2% of the current replacement value of our facilities. And if that were funded, we would actually drop our FCI to 9.13%. And that dollar amount equates to roughly $4.8 million. There's no guarantee, but the fact that we have the data and we can actually estimate what our need is, this is really good for the agency. But again, whether we get the funding or not, that remains to be seen. But again, it's important to emphasize that a downward trajectory is the key here, and that the goal for this agency ultimately is to land somewhere between 0 and 5%. Next slide, please. So this is an example of a 2018 projection. This really emphasizes it shows where we're at and what different funding approaches where those would ultimately take us regarding the FCI. This 2018 projection graph is an example of various trends depending on funding. The primary objective of this graph is to show the intent of the FCI metric. Without this metric, we would not be able to effectively show such a graph and leverage the data to support a long-term strategic plan. In short, a rolled-up FCI is the grade that reflects the agency's overall facilities management performance. To highlight, if you zoom in on there, you can follow the different funding scenarios with a starting point of roughly around 10% and actually what would happen depending on what the funding actually is. So if unfunded, and again, I need to emphasize this is 2018 data. If you look at this, so if unfunded, we would skyrocket to 25.8%. If fully funded, in a perfect world, the trajectory would ultimately get us to 1.3%. So we would be well in that 0 to 5% range. The Senate Bill 1067 funding of roughly 2% of CRV would take us to 14.4%. And then, of course, if optimally funded, we would roughly be around 3%, which equates to about 4% of CRV. Next slide, please. Okay, so back in 2018, the facilities program evaluated the current condition of our statewide facilities portfolio to not only establish a condition benchmark and strategic objective, but to also establish an investment strategy to achieve this objective. This included the evaluation of the issue. So what were the challenges that we were having in the field? Establishing a solution, and we also looked into authority to help support the plan and also develop process sideboards and to market the benefits statewide. And finally, to establish next steps via a pilot project concept to actually implement this. And if you, I don't know if you can zoom in or not, or if you can, I hope you can see this, because I had a little issue with the quality of the text in previous versions. So the issue is the aging infrastructure, which is in need of capital renewal and replacement. Large statewide agency deferred maintenance backlog. All agencies struggle from this, but ODF has a very large challenge just because our facilities are much older. A lack of comprehensive long-term strategic facilities investment vision and lack of consistent funding stream to invest in ODS building and structures. So the solution is ultimately is to implement a district-wide administrative rental rate that is deposited into a district-specific facilities operation capital investment account. And the acronym is FOCIA, to help facilitate the funding of the recurring maintenance needs, the reduction of the backlog of deferred maintenance, future capital improvement, renewal, and replacement projects, but also recurring facilities-related operating expenses, paying the bills to keep the lights on. And leveraging the data collected during the statewide assessments of ODS buildings, building portfolio back in 2015, 16, and 17, determine the facility's needs, the long-term and short-term needs to lower the facility condition index, which is ultimately the gray, like I mentioned before. And it provides a dynamic, basically the dynamic data on funding needs to include into rental rates over time and also help us with our funding requests as we move forward over time. We do have the authority via multiple mandates. Primarily back in 1995, the legislature did enact via 276.285, which permits agencies that own and operate real property to set up a separate dedicated account at the state treasury. And what's important to note, that's an interest-bearing account. So when paid into that and strategically manages the key, that money does carry over biennia. And it does collect interest, which it can help pay for filters. It can help pay for other projects. Anything helps. And, of course, the benefits, it enhances facilities funding strategies in the long term. It helps facilitate a better projection of future budgetary needs. It enables the matching of all funding sources where applicable. The FOCIA fund balances carry over biennia and accrue interest. That's very important to note. A more consistent tracking of funds helps support agency district long-term strategic capital planning and also supports a robust agency-wide strategic capital plan. And finally, once we achieved that, we started to embark on a journey by having a couple of pilot projects that were willing to actually implement this this concept. Next slide, please. Thank you. So basically, the strategic plan, the fundamental drivers of this plan, effective long-range capital planning for maximum use and value of our facilities via a 10-year planning vision. And it's in perpetuity, so every year we keep looking 10 years into the future. And we pull off projects that we completed, we keep adding more just to make sure that our facilities are well-maintained. Being good stewards of our investments. This is where public investments are properly maintained to ensure occupant safety. Being nimble as programming needs change or evolve over time. And the reduction of long-term operating costs. Also designing for quality. Good building designs contribute to higher employee productivity and adaptability and provide better public service. Excuse me. right-sizing our portfolio, sustainability and resiliency being very high priorities, especially now, and also meeting agencies' programming needs. Conveying our identity, ensuring that our buildings have an image of accessibility and responsiveness, again, adaptability. Emphasizing resiliency once more, ensuring that buildings are prepared to withstand catastrophic events, both natural and man-made. And applying best practices when maintaining and planning for new facilities. For example, utilizing master planning to help facilitate the long-term need when planning for larger capital improvement and capital construction projects. So just real quick, if you look at that slide, you will see, it's a very, very simple concept. Obviously we have the authority to work off of, we have the data that we've collected. And of course, the data is only a specific snapshot in time. We also have to keep building on that data and continuously, manage our facilities and reassess our facilities and our needs. And then, of course, we have the performance metric, which is the key. That's the grade that we ultimately have to give our buildings dynamically, if you will. At a minimum, every year we have to know whether we're actually moving in the right direction or not, and how we need to adjust to make sure that our buildings are safe to occupy and meet the programming needs. And, of course, the 10-year vision, making sure that it's an ongoing process that we implement best management practices such as master planning. We prioritize our projects too, whether it's district specific or even statewide. Project budgeting and investing also in implementing governance to make sure that it's written in policy and this that everybody's on board with this and understands, and it's very clear how to implement this process. And then you'll also see the rental rate, and that's basically a couple of variables that we need to look at and apply to each building, and I'll get to that in a moment. But basically this rental rate concept feeds into the Fokea account. And then, of course, we had the pilot projects that we're currently using to refine the rental rate, because there are a lot of nuances in the field, different business models, different needs, different processes, and it's a learning process for me. But there are a lot of fine details to take into consideration when actually establishing a rent that makes sense. And also, how long are we looking into the future regarding this investment strategy? Are we looking 5 years to pay into an account? Are we looking at it on a yearly budgeting basis? Again, these are all being evaluated as we go through the pilot project phase. And then finally, policy and governance. We already have a policy in place. It goes back to 2005 that is also being looked at and ultimately will be renewed to reflect this process. And, yes. So that's that. Next slide, please. Thank you. And this basically is the funding strategy, the rental rate, and kind of broken out in a little bit more detail for you. And it's pretty simple. We're looking at the operating expenses. We're looking at the annual maintenance expense. We're looking at the deferred maintenance reduction expense. We're looking at capital improvement needs, tenant improvement needs, and that includes changing offices, changing programming spaces within the buildings. And finally, replacement of our facilities. So the capital construction investment expense, and that's all rolled up into a rate ultimately the districts can charge themselves, and ultimately pay into an account that will then be able to absorb the costs of all of these expenses as we move forward. And again, the goal here is we have to find a way to get the condition of all of our buildings somewhere between the 0% and 5% range. Next slide, please. Thank you. So the pilot project's currently adopting this concept listed above and listed on this slide, and more to join as capacity allows. And I'll cover a little bit more about capacity in a moment. I'd like to express my appreciation, though, to the field for embarking on what I believe is a significant paradigm shift in how we've managed our facilities in the past. And we have much more to learn and many nuances to take into consideration, such as different funding structures, programming needs, and, of course, occupancies. But again, the key here is we need to facilitate a better projection of future budgetary needs. So if we know what those needs are, we can plan for them. If we don't, if we wait for something to break, that could have a very big strain on our budgets. And especially in this day and age, with resiliency being very important, with sustainability being very important, Cascadia subduction is a good example. We have a lot of facilities located in that area. You know, how are we going to be able to absorb those costs if that were to happen? It will happen. When it happens, of course, we do not know. But chance favors the prepared soul, I always say. And, again, it also enables the matching of all funding sources. which is a huge benefit to most of the districts that actually are able to realize that. And then, of course, again, it's the interest that can be accrued, that this fund can accrue over time. And it also provides more consistent tracking of facility needs and funds. And again, it's supporting the long-range capital planning need that the agency actually needs to solidify. Next slide, please. Thank you. And basically, this is the last slide. And finally, I don't know what my time is, but I hope I still have some time left. So this slide represents my program's current capacity. You'll see that the white boxes currently represent the permanent FTE, with the majority of staff dedicated to the Salem campus O&M operations. So in short, the capacity is very lean to actually facilitate the majority of this long-term strategic planning. Also, in short, we need to be able to provide the field with the staffing that's necessary for project management, for data management. We need to be able to provide that service to the field. And right now, the capacity is very slim. And the additional positions are needed to facilitate the strategic planning cycle and to provide the field with the support in the long run. And this is in perpetuity in order for us to be successful, in order for us to actually successfully plan and provide a strategic plan that we can ultimately use then to tell the story downtown when we do request for funding for future capital construction projects, future project that include the replacement of facilities. Because downtown likes to actually, they like to actually provide the funding to agencies that present a plan. They can say, yes, we are efficient with our facilities. We've maximized the use of our facilities. We need additional capacity via this structure or via this capital improvement project. And ultimately this would help me actually achieve that objective in the long run. This concludes my presentation. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Joe Justice has a question.
Yeah, I don't really have a question. I just want to point out I did sit on the Northeast Oregon Budget Committee prior to being appointed to this board, and that budget committee has, through landowner assessments, dealt with capital problems or deferred maintenance in Northeast Oregon. And so landowners are trying to tackle this, some real urgent needs in Northeast Oregon. I just want to point that out, make sure the board understands that. I don't know how common that is, Chris, but in NEO, we've set up that FOCIA account and through landowner assessments to deal with some critical infrastructure issues in our in basically our district.
That's correct. They've been a great customer, actually. We've worked through multiple iterations of the spreadsheet to actually take into account all the needs that they have. And I do appreciate the work that they've done.
Any other questions? Comments? Yeah, very informative. We haven't gone through this, at least since I've been around, to my knowledge. It's very helpful. We just see the state forester's office show up on our wish list.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.